Jason, you're tricky.
Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Morning Show right here at 88.5 KRFY. This is Wednesday, December 19th, and we have a full house of smiling folks with us this morning. I'm Susie Prez, and my co-host, good morning, Chris Bessler.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I love this moment in time, The Wednesday morning show before Christmas. So we have a special show because...
As has been our habit for the 4 years, or is it 5 years we've now been doing the morning show, we're going to be talking about the reason for the season today. Christmas, of course, celebrates the birth of Christ, which is something that tends to get lost in all the activities and commercialization that surrounds Christmas. Whether you are a Christian yourself, Christmas is about something more than just getting out to buy presents. So today we're going to talk about the true meaning of Christmas. And we have three pastors from local churches. We have Jason Gold from Regeneration Calvary Chapel. Hi, Jason.
Hi, good morning.
We have Eric Rust from Cedar Hills Church.
Good morning.
And we have Pearl Whistler from United Methodist Church.
Good morning.
And we're going to come back and talk about the true meaning of Christmas here in just a moment. But first, we have a few other things to talk about, Susie, such as, can you give us any prognostications as to weather?
The weather from the National Weather Service, I certainly can do that, Chris. Today, currently, actually, we have 36 degrees, and today we can expect a 20% chance of rain, so that's kind of a little bit lower. It might be kind of dry out there. Mostly cloudy with a high near 42, south winds 5 to 9 miles per hour. Tonight, chance of rain and snow before 1 a.m., and that's a 60% chance. Cloudy with low around 34, so hopefully it will stay rain if you're out there driving anyways. Of course, the skiers want snow, so whatever. Tomorrow, Thursday, 80% chance of rain, snow, then rain, high of 39, and Thursday, low of 30 with a 90% chance of snow. That's kind of how it is. I think we're going to have a white Christmas. I looked ahead to Monday night. It looks like we have a good chance of some snow Monday night, okay, which is Christmas.
Yeah, we need
Eve.
A little snow refreshing around here, don't we?
Yeah, I think so.
After the rain washed away what we had, a lot of what we had. What else is going on around town?
Well, you know, last week you weren't here, but we had a new segment to the morning show that I thought would be really fun, and the city officials really were happy that we're putting this in. It's called Sandpoint City Minute, and we just want to bring you a little bit of that. There's one aspect to it that we want to bring. It's called Engage Sandpoint. It's a new resource to keep citizens connected to city happenings. You can report issues, find resources, stay informed. You can sign up by going to the city website at sandpointidaho.gov. Do you want to give the news and the announcements, Chris?
New segment. On our new segment of Sandpoint City Minute, there's a new snow removal policy this year in downtown Sandpoint. You can get more information about that on the sandpointidaho.gov website or the Engage Sandpoint application. It's important to note that on snow events, that vehicles need to be parking on the even side of the street after the odd side of the street. That's the odd numbered side of the street is plowed. Street crews will come back by to plow after the cars on the even side move. So this is a new thing in Sandpoint, and I'm curious how well that's going to work.
Thinking the same thing. Which side is the even, which side is the odd? I guess if you live on the street, you would know, right?
Yeah, you'll know the numbering.
And then you run out and watch the snowplow
car. That's the trick part of this to me, is being aware of when the plow's coming by. They're doing this because they want to ensure that the road doesn't become too narrow to navigate, which has been a problem historically. Again, it's going to be an interesting new policy, so folks should watch out for that.
A couple of other things from the city. Today's regularly monthly scheduled meeting of the Pedestrian and Bicycle Advisory Committee that's normally scheduled at 2:30 has been canceled. And also tonight at 5:30 at the City Hall on Lake Street, the scheduled City Council meeting is going to happen at 5:30. You can find the agenda for tonight's meeting on the website under Meeting Agenda at the top of the page. And that's at, again, sandpointidaho.gov.
Yeah.
So that's our city minute.
That's our city minute. And we didn't time it, but it's maybe 90 seconds. I'm not sure. I wanted to mention a couple of things going around town. Of course, there's always a ton of things happening here in Sandpoint. And you can see the entire community calendar on our website, carefy.org, or on sandpointonline.com, which provides our calendars. There's a ELF sing-along. It's a free film event at the Panada. I believe that's tonight. So if you have kids, that would be a good one to go to. And then on Saturday, it's the annual event that's called the Christmas Bird Count. If you're a birder, are you interested in birding, or you just want to check it out, actually, you could connect with some other folks that are birders. And this goes on across all across the country, where birders go out and count birds, and they try to put together a database of bird populations across the country, and you can take part in that. You can get more details on that on the carefy.org calendars. Also, there's a Convoy of Hope fundraiser that Davis Grocery in Hope, Idaho, is hosting, and that's with live music. That's on Saturday, so you can have some fun and contribute to that. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention one of the biggest events of the year coming, which is this Friday, is the winter solstice.
Oh, I'm so excited. Finally, we get to turn around and head towards the light,
it's
right?
It's the shortest day of the year as we enter official winter. And during the course of the last week, we've lost 4 minutes of daylight per day. But starting Friday, we start gaining daylight again. And
right on.
Yeah, we're all ready for that. Huh?
Yeah.
So that's something that we can celebrate. Of course, there are probably some winter solstice events around town as well. I guess that's the second biggest event, because the biggest event happening around town is going to be Christmas coming up on Tuesday. And we're going to be talking today about the reason for the season with the three pastors we have here in the studio from local churches: Jason Gold from Regeneration Calvary Chapel, Eric Russ from Cedar Hills Church, and Pearl Whistler from United Methodist Church.
You know, you put together this really nice kind of outline of what we're doing, but a short definition of Christmas is that it's the annual Christian celebration of the birth of Christ. And you may have said that at the beginning, but, you know, at talking with our faith leaders here this morning, it might be good to hear what they have to say about that. So,
okay, so let's frame it up a little bit here. So Christmas means a lot of different things in our culture and to different individuals here. I mean, first of all, for everybody in this room, I'm sure Christmas is about the birth of Christ, and it's about the values he taught us. Christmas is about goodwill toward men. It's about giving. Christmas is maybe the biggest event of the year for family and loved ones, where you remember people. It's about showing kindness to strangers. It expresses our longing for love and happiness and goodness. It encompasses so many good things that we tend to idealize Christmas at this time of year as to what mankind could be. So what we want to do was pose the question to each of you faith leaders here in our community. And let's start out with you, Pastor Jason Gold from Regeneration Calvary Chapel. What is the meaning of Christmas to you?
You know, with getting your email and the question posed to me, I had to actually go back. I had to go back some years to, because what Christmas means to me has changed through the years. As a child, Christmas was magical. It was a time where it was restless sleep. I couldn't sleep. It was anticipation. And then you come out and you see the gifts and then when I was just coming out of elementary school, my parents got divorced. And then all of a sudden, the meaning of Christmas changed. It turned into something now where I had to choose between mom and dad. I had to choose. And so then the magic went away. In my younger years, the focus wasn't Christ's birth. It was more of a celebration of just gift giving. And so I didn't have that lens. I wasn't... You know, as a young child, I you know, as I didn't have a real biblical worldview. And then, so that was kind of most of my childhood, even going through high school. I had to choose between my dad or my mom and my stepdad. And then my wife came into my life, and I was just kind of going through this thing where I had given her a card from a friend to give to her, and she, I was at home. I was watching football on Christmas, and I didn't advertise that. That was just what I did because I just kind of felt polarized myself internally. And so then she invited me over. So then I was introduced to really the true meaning of Christmas and seeing that Christ can be the center. And so once I had my own kids and then seeing it from a father's heart, then my perception of what's the meaning of Christmas changed once again. And then just the call into ministry, it changed again. And obviously, with all the diversity today, I think it's less more what is the meaning of Christmas to me, but what does the Bible say? And as you had mentioned, as it was prepped in this discussion, that it is a celebration of Jesus Christ and his coming, Emmanuel, God with us.
Good. Well, thank you, Pastor Gold. Pastor Pearl from United Methodist Church, let's put the same question to you. What, for you, is the true meaning of Christmas?
You know, it's really, in my mind, it has changed just dramatically. Let me give a little background. Maybe that will help. I am a licensed local pastor with a Methodist church. I became a pastor after I had my career in the other world, because I don't know if that's an appropriate way to say that, but so I worked in a lot of different positions, got my college education and did all of that, and when I retired from those jobs, I became a pastor. I think part of this whole thing for me, the Christmas thing, sometimes I just want to wipe away the Christmas tree and all the gifts and all of that, and just help people sit down and think about what this actually means. What is the day we're celebrating? And I also like thinking about the potential of the Lord coming again, not necessarily on Christmas, but coming again as a God of power, yeah, for all of us. I wish there were a way to make those things the center of Christmas again. I remember as a child, presents coming around the tree downstairs. At that time, we had this house. It just had a register in the floor, and we could look down there, and the Christmas tree would be under it, and we could see people putting things under there. My parents would get very angry when we were peeking. But but it was more about, gosh, what's under the tree? Mm-hmm. And we were part of the church as well. We had children's programs and things, and we always did that on Christmas Eve. There were parts to recite and all of that. I don't think for myself that Christmas had the same meaning then as it has since I became an adult and understand more what the Bible's teaching. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Pastor Eric Rust from Cedar Hills Church, same question to you. What is the true meaning of Christmas for you?
Yeah, I resonate with everything that Pearl and Jason shared, and even Chris, what you had to say. I mean, really, it comes down to this kind of a season of focused celebration, mm-hmm, around the birth of one of history's most influential people, Jesus Christ. And here we are a couple thousand years later, and we're celebrating the birth of one individual. A lot of people have been born before, and a lot of people have been born since. And yet there's this sense that something significant happened on that particular day. And so if I was to sum it up in a word, I think I might use a different word that came to me this morning, just this word, like interruption. When you think about what Christmas is, it interrupted. I mean, God interrupted our world, and he kind of, through Jesus, invaded our planet, and everything changed. I mean, suddenly God, who we thought was distant and unknowable, someone that we feared suddenly became close. Mm-hmm. He became present. He became a child. He became accessible. Even today, I think about the way that, if all goes well, Christmas ought to interrupt our normal schedule. And so it causes us to slow down a little bit, hopefully. Hopefully we find time to think about the things that are most important. I mean, centrally, of course, the arrival of Jesus. And I love Pearl's thought about the coming of Jesus again, right? That's that idea of Advent that we're in this season of right now. That's a beautiful thought to hold on to. And hopefully it helps us to slow down just in terms of the pace that we run in. You know, in the church world, that's a little hard to do right now because it's kind of like our Super Bowl, right? Like it's a big week and with special gatherings happening. But to slow down and to think about the people that are in our life that are important, to slow down and think about those that that we know that might be in a season of difficulty or stress, and just a thought to turn or a time to turn our thoughts outward towards others. So that word interruption, I think, is an important word to me this time of year.
Well, thank you, Eric Russ from Cedar Hills Church, and to all of you for that explanation. When you were talking, I was thinking about the ancient European Christian tradition of Advent and that bringing in the light. And when something is illuminated, what is being illuminated? I don't have that answer, but it does bring that question to mind. But also, what has come up, you hear people talking about how to survive the stress of Christmas. Mm. The Christmas season is so stressful. How do you incorporate and bring that into your congregations to help them stay with what we're talking about here today? And still have a Christmas tree downstairs that the kids are excited about. All children love that. So any of you can kind of raise your hand and then speak, but if that's a clear question.
Well, you know, from, again, being a pastor, we have to look at things through the lens of the scriptures. And, you know, the Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication. That word supplication is to make our requests known to God. And so as we deal with anxiety, then what I do is I make it a vertical thing. I make it where I'm talking to God Almighty. You know, just as Eric eloquently said that God interrupted our world, why do we let him interrupt it once a year? We should let him interrupt it every day. And as we are caught up with the craze of Christmas, you know, sometimes it brings anxiety, stress. Sometimes it's fear, you know, that we're not going to be able to do what other people are doing, you know, kind of watching the Joneses, so to speak. You know, the Bible verse that comes to mind is the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And so it's giving the congregation these antidotes that we call scripture that they can meditate upon. Faith comes by hearing, hearing of the word of God. And so in faith, we can have faith to not be stressed.
Pearl, Pastor Pearl from United Methodist, would you add to that, dealing with the stresses of Christmas? And also, how do people not get caught up in the kind of the crass commercialization that surrounds this holiday as well?
How do you not get caught up? You know, my answer to that is you simply don't need all that. I know it seems really simple. To say something like that, but the reality is Christmas is really not about, I mean, we have received the big, beautiful gift already. Mm-hmm. And to have our tree full again really isn't necessary for us to enjoy the holiday, to understand what it means to really experience it. And no one may agree, but I just think we stop buying so much stuff. And I'm sorry to all the storekeepers in town, but we just stop buying so much stuff on this day and help our minds get focused back where we need to be.
So what I hear you saying, Pearl, is to just make it simpler. Homemade gifts, maybe the experience of making something for someone mm-hmm. special. something like that is what I'm not by, but just keep it simpler.
Yes.
Okay.
Pastor Eric, any thoughts on this, on reducing stress and also the commercialization?
Yeah, it is a chaos season. I mean, there's so much to do. And part of it is because there's much to celebrate. I mean, I think a lot of the chaos we feel is good. I mean, it's a time of parties. It's a time of gathering with friends and family. It's a time where we communicate to people we love thoughtfulness through gifts, if we're purposeful. Sometimes gifts become just sort of like crazy spending, yeah. To Pearl's point. There are times to be able to give a gift that communicates value and love and thoughtfulness. So there, I think a lot of that is to be celebrated. I think we have to figure out how to do that in a way that we don't lose the primary point. And I think that's mm-hmm. that's probably something that we all are trying to figure out in our own lives. Mm-hmm. How do we keep that front and center? It's a time of struggle. It's a time of fear. It's a time of loss for a lot of people. I mean, there are I have friends that are celebrating their first Christmas without a loved one, a parent or a child. Mm-hmm. There's families that were thinking of celebrating together, and unfortunately this year they're not together. The kids are in different spots, kind of like your story, Jason. And so I think we step into that as well, understanding it's a difficult time for a lot of us. And so how do we be community to each other? And then Christmas is also community. We haven't used that word yet. Yeah. It's a time of togetherness. And so if we can cut through sort of the crass commercialism and find the beauty of community, which is often celebrated with expressions of love or food or you know, gathering together, I think that's a way to find the best in what could sometimes be a negative thing.
Mm-hmm. When you say community, have you found tangible, real basic ways of actually reaching out and making that happen at, say, Cedar Hills or the Calvary Chapel or the Methodist Church?
Yeah, you know, for us, we do, every year we have some sort of a Christmas emphasis, like an offering that we do. And, you know, last year we had a big push where we did that, which you just talked about a moment ago, spend a little bit less so you can give more. We're not saying don't spend at all, but spend just a little bit less. And about 11 churches in town did that together. I think we raised $175,000 for a local women's shelter that was opening, and then for the Loot Commission based in Eswatini and you know, the southern tip of Africa. And so that was pretty cool to see what a little bit of sacrifice could do in community. This year, our church is partnering with Convoy of Hope that you mentioned earlier, Chris, asking people to give one day's wage to work one day in the month of December and to give that in an offering. So I think subtle ways to just divert our attention off of ourselves onto others isn't the solution, but I think it's a step in reminding us that there's something bigger than ourselves this time of year that we can step into.
You know, what occurs to me is that the whole question of the commercialization and the kind of this pressure to give big gifts, that's almost probably a family culture. Some families have, whether by intent or not, have kind of evolved into, oh, I got to get this biggest present, or I got to get this newest thing for my kid. It almost feels like a race to get those things for their family members. And they end up putting a lot of stress on themselves financially. They look at their credit card after the holiday as well. Any words of wisdom, say, Jason, for folks that find their families kind of have evolved that way and they might want to dial it back?
Change your Amazon password.
That's a great start.
That's the joke for the morning. Before we get into that, Jason, I want to let our listeners know what they're listening to. We're here live in the KRFY studio. This is the morning show with Chris and Susie. And we're speaking with faith leaders here today about the deeper meaning of this season and the Christian holiday of Christmas. So, Jason, you were going to talk, you said, change your Amazon password, but there's other ways too, I'm sure. That was good, though.
Yeah. You know, it all has to do with eternal focus. You know, we are inundated with advertisements, commercials, and shopping, and the main thing is giving. But then you have people that are just broken. As Eric had mentioned, families that they're not going to be having Christmas as what we would, as you had mentioned, it's our tradition. well, what is the tradition of Jesus? Well, it or the tradition of Christmas, and it is what we've made it. Where if we take it back to the origin, it's Jesus being born in a barn, so to speak, and then people coming to visit and celebrate their Savior of the world. And so again, it's making Jesus the reason for the season, not to be cliche, but you know, sometimes you just got to get back to the basics and just at the root level explain what the root of Christmas is.
Pastor Pearl, let me ask you the question in a little different way. Have you ever, as a pastor, had to counsel a member of your congregation about dialing back on the whole Christmas thing? You know, the commercialization part of it, where they feel like this pressure to get the best gift and maybe drive themselves into debt doing that?
Actually, no, I have never had to counsel anyone on that, other than myself, of course, and as I grew in the whole relationship. But no, I have not had to help with that. I still, I can just talk about myself for a second. When my children were young, it seemed to me really important to celebrate each of them. And so we made their birthday a big thing, where the gifts were available to them at that time, and they were the focus, so that Christmas could be kind of toned down a little bit. And you still received gifts, but it wasn't so much as we've kind of gotten in this society now. I think where Christmas is kind of about us, you know, what are you giving me, or what did I get for Christmas? I mean, that's what we ask one another after Christmas. What'd you get for Christmas, you know? Mm-hmm. But so we made it the birthday of that one, the big thing. So it would take some of that pressure off of Christmas.
We're going to go to a music break in just a second, but same question back to you, Pastor Eric from Cedar Hills. Have you ever counseled anybody that got so caught up in the stress of having to buy big gifts or feeling that pressure that it's actually causing them some anxieties and harm?
Yeah, I've had conversations with friends that they feel the tension, and I think it goes back to something someone said earlier. It may have been Jason about the family pressure, right? So much of what we expect from ourselves during this time of year comes from sort of our family of origin, right? The way that our parents or our family approach the holiday, and so that can build in a lot of pressure. And so I think helping people discover, how do you not lose your joy in the midst of this? We sing this popular song, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." And sometimes we ask, where in the world is that joy? I just must not have shown up at my house. And the reality is sometimes we squeeze it out because of our that incessant need to provide, to consume, to top, to create a memory for a family member, or a friend, or a child. Which again, there's nothing wrong with in its nature. But the moment it distracts us from the deeper purpose, I think we have to ask ourselves, okay, what is this about? Is it feeding something in me that I might need to address, or is it really about the right kind of stuff? And so helping people just reflect on that and helping them see maybe what they want. We try to do that every year in our church family. So I may not have as many one-on-one counseling sessions, but I feel like every year, this time of year, I stand in front of hundreds of people and encourage us all, myself included, to not lose sight of the true purpose of why we celebrate the season.
Okay, well, thank you. We are going to take a musical break. We all picked out a few songs that we like, and this one is "O Holy Night." I think it was Eric's choice.
Yeah.
And we had many options in our library, but we chose the Sandpoint High School Choir, and this is "O Holy Night." We'll be right back. And if you're listening to this and want to listen to all of it, but you're on your way to work, you can go to our website at krfy.org, and this podcast, there'll be a podcast of this morning's show for your listening pleasure. But this is "O Holy Night" by the Sandpoint High School. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, that was the high school choir singing, not O Holy Night, but singing Santa Baby. What do you know, Eric? That was your song.
That was the new version I've never heard before, but the sound was great. It just didn't have the lyrical quality that I was looking for.
I think it's been miscued in our library. We'll fix that one.
Well, yeah, it's got the wrong label on it. Right. Yeah. But so we are back. Again, we're talking about the true meaning of Christmas with pastors from three of our local churches, Jason Gold from Regeneration Calvary Chapel, Eric Russ from Cedar Hills Church, and Pearl Whistler from United Methodist Church. And we're going to dig back in on the conversation here. And one of the things about Christmas is it does incur a great deal of sadness for some folks as they're remembering lost loved ones. Is one way you might feel that sadness or just the anxiety of the season. But how would you address the question of people that do get a lot of sadness around Christmas time? And Jason, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously sadness is built upon generally experiences from the outside. And so then we process those things, and then we come up with the emotion of why we're feeling what we're feeling. And, you know, for me as a child, you know, Christmas was incredible until divorce came in, and then Christmas became very sad. So that's one point of sadness. And then, like, my stepdad, he had passed away this last May. So my mom is experiencing her first Christmas without him, and so she is extraordinarily sad. But she focuses on the Lord. She focuses on, you know, the idea of Jesus coming again, but then also for those that believe in Jesus Christ and that our loved ones are in heaven, then there's that hope that we're going to see them again. And so, again, it has to go vertical. You know, when I read articles just this week, there was an article of a family that on their porch camera, they actually watched, and it's the article was phrased, local church comes to the rescue after porch pirates steal children's Christmas gifts. And so that can bring sadness to a parent, right? And then you have a seniors facility that what they're doing is the article read that Merry Christmas and singing religious Christmas songs or display of any decorations with religious themes is not allowed. So here you have, we're in this Christmas season, and it's their rights are being taken away. And so that would bring sadness. So you have sadness from personal experiences, and then you have sadness from external experiences. And that's where the resolve has to be with what is God doing in our lives individually. And like Eric had said, joy to the world. And so we have to find our joy. And what is the foundation of our joy?
Pastor Pearl, same question to you about how should people deal with sadness if they're feeling that at this time of year?
You know, it's a very hard time of year to just make the sadness go away if you have it, if you're feeling that. I had a friend who actually died from cancer, but when he was feeling days, and this wasn't Christmas, but when he was feeling days of deep sadness and, you know, kind of personal, he would just get his suit on and go out and visit other people in his church. And I think part of the Christmas thing, yes, we're celebrating Christ's coming, but I think it's not just that day, but it's every day for us to have our eyes and our ears open toward those who may be feeling the sadness. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are alone. A lot of people don't even think about Christmas anymore, really. But if we don't enter into their lives, if we don't bring what we can with the love of Christ, It just seems like that's part of our responsibility as well. We get so caught up in doing our own thing and making sure we have all the right gifts and everyone is happy and we're all having our dinner together. And nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But I think we need to look past. We need to look to those other people, but not just Christmas.
We had our, we have a seniors group called Silver and Gold. And one of the things that they've done is reached out to the senior facility. And so we had a large group go to the senior facility and sing Christmas carols this last Sunday. And so then they were asked back, this Sunday, they're going to, the kids and children's ministry are going to make crafts, and we're going to deliver them to the seniors. And so, like you said, it's focusing on other people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there's a Bible verse that says, commit your ways unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. So a lot of it's doing. We need to do the right thing, and then all of a sudden we get our eyes off of ourselves and the sadness fades. Yeah.
Well, one of the things while we're talking I've been thinking about is I have a feeling that all of you don't think of your congregation as just the folks that come to your church. The walls do not hold your ministry, yeah. I'll say. But there are a lot of people out there, and we're talking about people that are alone, maybe sad, but maybe alone, maybe don't have the Christian faith, but are still part of our world. How do you minister, or how do you bring, without saying, well, if you just had Christ in your heart, you'd be okay. How do you bring that in a way that really speaks to your decision to be ministers? Eric, we want to start with that? Do you know what I'm asking?
I do, yeah. And that's why, when I think about why I live in Sandpoint and why we started Cedar Hills, man, almost 18 years ago now, it was a heart for this community, for North Idaho, and a desire to really share the message of Christmas all year long, right? The Lord has come, that Jesus is here. He's invaded our world, and he's come to bring us hope and life, forgiveness, a full life, more than we could ever ask for or imagine. So I think that's really the call of the church. If the church is really a collection of people who belong to God, our job then is to make his name known to everybody we possibly can, and to get the word out. And so we believe that the church is the people. And so what we do is we go to work, we go to our homes, we go to our neighborhoods, we go to community groups we're part of, we go to our schools, our sports teams, and we are to be Jesus there. And so the hope is that when you think about, you know, I think I've heard that there's about 60 Christian churches in Bonner County, somewhere around that. That's a lot for a small little North Idaho county. Mm-hmm. But if you can imagine 60 different churches that unite around this idea that we are the church, and we go into the world and we love our neighbor as ourself. We care for the people that we interact with. We don't allow ourselves to be so consumed with what we have going on that we miss what's happening in the lives of others. That's a struggle for me. I battled that last weekend. You know, you get caught up in your own deal, but we're here for something bigger than ourselves. And so I think that's when the church works best. It's not that, I mean, we invite people to come. All of us have gatherings every weekend where we gather in community and we celebrate the fact that we do this together, not alone. But more so than asking people to come to us, my hope is people go and are the hands and the feet of Jesus extended every day of the year to people around them.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to throw out there, if you should find yourself in a period of real serious sadness right now and you do need help, I think calling any of these individuals would be, they'd welcome a call from you. There's also a North Idaho crisis line. I'll throw that phone number out there. It's 208-946-5595. And that's open 24 hours a day. And there are folks there that would give you help as well.
What is that number again, Chris?
208-946-5595. That's the North Idaho crisis line. So wanted to put that in there.
Very
so,
good.
On other topics having to do with Christmas, what about the question of the politicizing of Christmas? Because it's kind of become this thing that there might be a war on Christmas. I'm just curious, do you pastors feel that's anything to that? Maybe I'm in a bubble, but I don't feel it. Go around feeling it. But Pastor Gold from...
Well, I think... In North Idaho, we are in a bubble. we're not being affected by it as much as some others. The idea of another article that I had read this week was elementary school in Nebraska. The principal withdrew all the idea of Christmas and said that it will not be celebrated. And to the fact that she said you can't even bring candy canes, that they will be banned as well. She went on to say that this is because the shape of the candy cane is a J for Jesus, the red is the blood of Christ, and the white is a symbol of his resurrection. And it went on, and she listed some other things that would not be allowed in the elementary school. And it's all this idea of tolerance and acceptance of all different diversities. But the reality is, well, if we're being tolerant, then be tolerant. And that's not the case here. It's more hostile. It's more of an attack. It's more of a war on Christianity, not only Christmas. And so what's the position is prayer. You know, it is, we need to be praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit to work in and through the church. And as Eric had mentioned, the church is the people, it's not the building. Mm-hmm. And as the people in the church are encouraged to go out and be that light, that they can change the world one person at a time. But it's just one of those things that we, you know, we don't fight against flesh and blood, the Bible tells us. So this isn't our fight. This is the battle belongs to the Lord.
Eric, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that thought, that scripture, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood was coming to mind, right? Like I would recommend, and the scriptures even say, you know, do not repay evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. So to respond to a perceived war against Christmas with a war of our own isn't helpful. It wouldn't seem to align with the spirit that Jesus had. So we are a little bit in a bubble. I mean, North Idaho is one, but also in the church world, there is, at least at this time, still some clear freedoms that the church has to celebrate religious holidays without any interruption. Now, mm-hmm. Some might feel like that's being challenged and it may not last much longer, but right now there's a little bit of protection there. But not everybody in our community faces that. So if you work at a school district, you know, that might have those types of views, or if you work at a business that might have restrictions about what you can and can't do, learning how to be wise in that, I think, is really smart. I think we have to be careful as followers of Jesus not to become antagonistic, mm-hmm. but I think we have to lead with respect, understanding not everybody holds our views. If someone wants to say happy holidays to me, I have no problem with that whatsoever. You know, I prefer Merry Christmas, but I'm not opposed to a happy holiday, especially if I know someone that finds that personally offensive for them. I think I'm going to be sensitive if at all possible. But I think our spirit has to be one of kindness and selflessness and really considering others as better than ourselves. That goes back to what you said, Chris, early on, that Christmas is a time where we celebrate the values Jesus taught. And so I think how we treat each other, even when it's sensitive and political, is an important part of that.
Yeah.
Pastor Pearl, your thoughts?
Well, I agree. I just think that when we're working with other people, whether they're Christians or whether they're not Christians, we take ourselves, and if we are the Christians, we take that life to them. We don't, and I don't personally think that I have to stand and preach to them if they have a broken leg or something. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. there's a reasonableness to it. If they ask a question, I can give information. But my goal is to help them because that's what I'm supposed to do.
Good. Well, we could go on and on. I really want to thank all three of you for coming in and sharing something, a deeper meaning, and to our current celebration here. We can say Merry Christmas. We can say we hope you have a blessed and wonderful and joyful Christmas. But we also want to hear a little bit about your services. So I'm sure you have Christmas Eve and Christmas Day services. If you want to just go around the room and tell our listeners what they can do to participate in your particular church.
At the Methodist Church, we have, of course, on Sunday it's 9:30, but we have been singing carols, Christmas carols, in advance. So it's good to come just a little bit early so you can sing with us. Christmas Eve service is at 5 o'clock, so we'll have that service, and then you can go home to your families, have a big dinner, or open gifts, or whatever it is you like to do. We're not having a service on Christmas Day this year, so
So you're with the United Methodist. Where are you located?
We're on 711 Main.
Right here.
Right at the in the heart of town, right?
Yeah. You just cut down some big trees out there. Yeah, it's all open up now. And you have a soup kitchen also.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes, we do have every Thursday. There is a soup. And it's fun. Even if you're not hungry, just to come and visit with the folks that come to eat. It's just great fun to be with them.
Thank you, Pastor Pearl. Okay. And Jason, your information for folks in case they want to come and participate.
Yeah, so Christmas Eve we'll be celebrating at 6:30. And Christmas Eve. Monday. And so we're going to have our children's ministry is going to do like a live nativity type play. And we have some special music and then a Christmas message.
And you're with the Regeneration Calvary Chapel. And yes. Where is that located?
We're right down the street, right by the hospital off of North 3rd Avenue.
Okay. And if folks wanted to call and get more information, or how would they?
Yeah, they could go to the internet, regenerationcalvarychapel.com.
Okay, thank you. And Eric?
Cedar Hills has weekly gatherings every Thursday at 6 o'clock and then Sunday, 9 o'clock and 10:30. So that's kind of our normal schedule. We're doing that this weekend as well. And then on Christmas Eve, we have four gatherings scheduled. So we've got a fun night planned starting 1 o'clock, 2:30, 4 o'clock, and 5:30. And so we've got a lot of extra things planned that night. We always do a candle lighting. We have a lot of carols we sing. We include our older kids in that gathering and try to make it relevant to them. We have some kind of gift bags for them. There's family portraits. Just a fun celebration. So any of those gatherings on Christmas Eve would serve you well. Come join us. You can find out more about us at cedarhillschurch.com. So that's our website.
And you're out in Kootenai?
We're in Kootenai, yeah, off of McGee Road. So right across from the Lignetic site. Look for the big smokestack and head north from there. So
okay. Well, again, thank you one and all for coming in. And we do hope that you have a wonderful and special Christmas holiday.
Thank you.
We are going to hear a song. And this, I know, is a true song.
A true Christmas song.
There's a group of wonderful young musicians in our town. I had the pleasure of interviewing them a few weeks ago here in the studio, Redhead Express, and they did this song when they were here. It's called Mary, Did You Know? We'll be back with a few announcements.
But we want to say goodbye and thank you for our three pastors, Jason Gold from Regeneration Calvary Chapel, Eric Rust from Cedar Hills Church, and Pearl Whistler from United Methodist Church for coming in today.
Honored to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Redhead Express. Mary, Did You Know? And that was the Redhead Express, a local group. Mary, Did You Know?
And we're back here, 88.5 KRFY, and we're wrapping up our Reason for the Season, our annual show where we talk about Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas. And again, thanks to our pastors for coming in. Any final words anybody want to throw out about Christmas? We really appreciate you being in again.
You know, you hit the topic of sadness, and I think it's important that the listeners understand that there's a God in heaven that loves them, and that regardless of how down one might be or their world is falling apart, that Jesus loves you.
Yeah, it's a good thought. Right on.
And thank you. We want to let our listeners know that tomorrow on the morning show, Jim Healy and Jack Peterson, they'll be sitting down with Mandy Evans from the Panhandle Animal Shelter, because even the little kittens and dogs need to have a nice Christmas. I think she's going to talk about you know, people get pets, and then 5 months later, the pet's not as exciting. So she's going to talk about that and what's going on at the animal shelter. And next week, on the Tuesday morning and the Wednesday morning, we will not have a morning show. I think I'm going to be in town. I'll come in and just DJ an hour of my favorite music, so you can tune in at 8 o'clock. And I think on Thursday, Jim and Jack next week are going to do a year in review of some of the top hits. So you can tune in.
And on January 2nd for our Wednesday show, we're going to be doing a year in review with some of the local journalists here in town. We have reporters from the Daily Bee and from the Sandpoint Reader, and they're going to kind of go through what they think were the biggest stories of the year, and we're going to do some prognosticating about what might be coming up in 2019 as the big local stories as well.
I don't know how to prognosticate.
Big word.
That's a really big word.
I'd like to use it, you know. I mean, just
also,
comes natural.
We're very fortunate, and we're going to have our new legislator, Jim Woodward, and our returning legislators Heather Scott and Sage Dixon are coming in over the holiday to do a recorded interview as they head down to Boise to do that legislating. And we will be showing that or broadcasting that on the 9th of January. So January, find out what they're looking forward to and what their plans are for the North Idaho District 1.
Yeah, and the legislature begins its session on January 7th. So be very timely for folks to hear about what our local legislators think might be coming up down in Boise.
Yep. So we're going to go out with a song. Again, thank you everyone for being here. Thank you everyone for listening to the morning show. This is 88.5 KRFY. We're happy that you're listening. If you didn't catch the whole show, you can go to our website, krfy.org, and listen to it under podcast. And we're going out with another favorite song. This is Josh Groban, Silent Night. Have a beautiful day.
Yeah. Bye now, and Merry Christmas.